My desire tonight is for us to have a biblical worldview, especially with regard to the subject that we have been hearing about now for a number of months, and that is, the subject of artificial intelligence. Without question, our world is entering into the final phase of its evil rebellion against God. Satan is capturing the minds of some of the most influential and intelligent minds in the world to use them in his final rebellion against God. Like Satan's toy soldiers, these prominent men are leading the world in this rebellion. At the heart of this rebellion is the creation and application of artificial intelligence, and I will refer to that as AI. I'm reminded in that chapter that the Apostle Paul wrote in the very first chapter of the book of Romans, as he talked about a culture that would move away from God, be in opposition to God, and God would give them up because they'd reached the spiritual point of no return. Listen to what he said about that culture in verses 22 and 23. He said, "They will be professing themselves to be wise. They became fools." Now listen. "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man." That is a perfect application pointing to artificial intelligence. We can discover much about Satan's final rebellion against God by learning about his original rebellion against God in heaven. Lucifer's rebellion was generated by his own position and power and pride. There are many theologians that say, and I agree with those that say these things, that in the beginning, of course, the Bible teaches that Lucifer, that was his original name as a good angel in heaven, was perhaps created as the most intelligent, the most powerful, the most gifted of all of the angels in heaven. And because of that position, pride entered his heart, and the Bible tells us that he wanted to ascend above God. He had actually fooled himself into believing that somehow he could dethrone God, that he could replace God and become God himself. Now, of course, when that failed, the Bible says that then Satan invaded the prized possession of God's creation, that is planet Earth. He came to Earth with the goal to deceive man into joining his rebellion against God. So please understand, the wicked of our generation today are being used by Satan, many of them not knowing that, but they're being used by Satan to help him and assist him in his rebellion against God. When he came down, of course, shortly after his creation, it says in Genesis chapter 3, he came down, of course, he tempted Eve, and then Eve gave that fruit to her husband. His eyes were open. He was deceived. And the purpose behind Satan's deception was to deceive Adam and Eve and pull them into his rebellion, his orbit of rebellion. And by the way, I remind you that one-third, listen to this, one-third of all of the good angels followed his rebellion. Now, friends, that tells us something about Satan. How convincing, how intelligent, how powerful that even one-third of all the, we don't know how many, trillions and trillions of angels that were created by God, one-third, one of all three of them, followed the devil in his rebellion. And then for several hundred years, that life continued on earth, and there was a growing momentum. And finally, in the days preceding the flood, as a matter of fact, we know that God spoke to Noah and told him that his time was only going to allow them to be on the earth for another 120 days. He told Noah to build the ark. And in Genesis chapter 6, we find, I'll talk more about this later, that the world had come to a place where they were now in complete and total rebellion against God in a unique way. And then after that, after the flood, there were a few more hundreds of years that passed. Man once again came together, no doubt under the work of Satan, at the Tower of Babel, which is in the country of Iraq today. And that's where that was located, in the plain of Shinar, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11. And there they had planned to come together to make themselves one name to be against God. And the Bible says, of course, that God intervened and stopped them in their plan by confusing their languages. I'm convinced that today now we are looking at the fourth, the last, greatest rebellion in this age. Now, I know there's going to be another final rebellion at the end of the millennial kingdom, but I'm talking about in this age, in this time, before the kingdom of God comes, artificial intelligence, I believe, is going to be used by Satan just as he was using something we'll talk about a little bit later in the days of Noah and then with the Tower of Babel. So we want tonight to develop a biblical worldview of artificial intelligence and understand what's about to take place. Now, as we talk about this, some people, when they talk about artificial intelligence, also talk about their ultimate goal of transhumanism. They want to create robots, by the way, that are called bots, or they're called humanoids as well, two different names that are used if you read about this. Their goal is somehow to make robots look and think and act like human beings and speak like human beings. Their desire is basically, catch this, to replace most of Earth's physical human population with these robots. So let's look at AI and how it's preparing our world for the final rebellion against God. We're going to look at six areas. The first five will be in the first part, and then the last one will be in the second half of this message. The first question we're going to answer is, what is AI, artificial intelligence? How would we summarize what it really is? Number two, the development of AI. Where are we right now? Who all is involved? Number three, the current applications of AI. What are they attempting to do with this this high level of technology? And then number four, the potential dangers of artificial intelligence. What are the dangers behind all that they are doing? We're hearing a lot of voices, even some who've been involved in AI in earlier years are now beginning to speak out against it. Number five, I'm going to present the evidence from the Bible that AI is man's ultimate rebellion against God. And then after our break, we'll come back for the sixth area to look at, and that is the evidence in the Bible of AI in the last days, in biblical prophecy. I want to tell you, when you look at this last point in light of what we're going to learn in the first half of this message tonight, it will blow your socks off. Number one, what is AI? The central focus of artificial intelligence today is the creation of computer-enhanced robots that will perform tasks that are usually associated with mimicking human beings. These robots are designed and made to think for themselves, research and collect data, and to speak and act and look like intelligent human beings. Now understand, I think that perhaps many of you, if you have some association with computers, if you know when I say Google this or Google that, you will know that there is a search engine, if that's what they call it, on the internet where you can go to whatever particular search engine you have and you click on that and you simply type in a topic or a question. And with a matter of seconds, you have enough material in front of you that would take you, in some cases, all day, 24 hours, to read all that's available on that on the websites, the sites on the World Wide Web about that particular subject. Now here, the reason I told you that is because they're telling us that some of these robots have been able to upload all of the information that is out there so that these robots have complete memory recall, because basically what it is a computer for their brain. Now, the development of AI. AI is no longer a future dream. I mean, this has been around technically for a very long time, but it's become a present reality in many nations. The following nations are leading the world in the research and application of AI systems. China, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Canada, Russia, France, Singapore, South Korea, Japan, United Kingdom, United States, and I want you to especially remember this one, Israel. Israel is at the front of research in all high-tech applications. Most of the technology we have with our iPhones and our computers, That materials, the things that drive it, the memory bases and so forth, has all been designed and manufactured in Israel. It is an Israeli technology. The third area we're going to look at very quickly is the current applications of artificial intelligence. Like the previous Industrial Revolution, now that happened long before all of us were around, we can't begin to imagine the transformation from the time of an agricultural background where a person was basically plowing their field with a horse or with a mule or with an ox, and then eventually they got a tractor. But the point is that from that point until Now, the mass production of so many items that we use, all because machines were made to produce much of everything that we use on a daily basis. And now we have seen in our lifetime the marriage together of computer technology with some of those machines, and now AI is taking that to an ultimate level. It'll have many applications. Please hear me. Some of these are good and some will be evil. I want to emphasize that technology in and of itself is not evil. Just like this computer. This computer can be used, that I have right here, this laptop, can be used for good purposes or for evil purposes. In order to what you see on the screen, I have created what you see on the screen. I could create something evil. I'm not going to. But you see, it's on the basis of who is the one who's creating and putting into the computer, as it were, the memory bank of these systems. Is it good or is it evil? Some of the applications will include, of course, security and banking industries. Manufacturing by robots. We're being told that it's already happening, by the way, in many of our factories around the world. They have, again, as I just said earlier, they have already married the engines from the previous generations through the Industrial Revolution, along with computers and the memory attached to that. And I guess a lot more difficult than what I'm explaining. But basically, we're seeing that happening already. They're creating these robots to steer vehicles. Now, that thrills you, doesn't it, when you go down 81 and a big 18-wheeler goes by and you look up to see the driver, and it's a computer in there, not a driver. And aircraft, now that's already happening. I mean, it's been happening for probably more than a decade or two that airplanes are being flown by computers. And military applications, research, education, medical surgery, and simulating entertainment. For instance, I just watched, just a couple days ago, I watched this little fellow here to the right. It is a robot that's been created in Israel, and it's technically now in a couple countries. These robots are actually teaching children how to speak different languages. It's becoming a demanding subject, a demand all over the world, because children, of course, the younger generation, is fascinated with high tech. They're fascinated with our iPhones, they're fascinated with computers, and they're fascinated with these robots. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the future they're talking about this, that school teachers will lose their jobs and be replaced by robots. Now, ladies, hold your excitement. But also they say they're planning to create robots that will do housework for you. And you'll be able to rent them or own them, and they can come in your house, make your bed, wash your clothes, do your dishes and the cooking and all those things. This is what they plan to do. Israel has excelled in three areas. Number one, security applications. We all know that Israel is the one nation that's hated more than any other nation. They're surrounded by people who want to destroy them. They have been forced to become the greatest world-leading security expert. As a result, they're leading the world in all these security applications. The other is the medical applications. And then also, one that fascinates me so very much, are the military applications. You're looking at here a computerized robotic tank, no people involved, that Israel has created. They'll be using in their future wars that are coming up. Also, this little fella that I just found out about today, actually. This is a little robot that moves along the ground. It's probably about the half the size of a chicken, if you want to put it that way. And it has actually, if you look here, on both sides, it has barrels. It actually shoots bullets. And this shows the application of it. You have an Israeli soldier who's controlling this. The bad guy's around a corner, and he can't shoot him because he's around the corner, but he sends in his robot to do the job for him. Israel's also creating, and perhaps will be the very first nation in the world to have an Israeli robotic army. We're being told even by our own generals and the leader of our own military here that perhaps by the year 2030, all of the military in all over the world, the nations, will change radically because they will all be moving to robotic armies and robotic instruments. Now let's shift gears and go to the fourth point we're going to look at tonight. That is the potential dangers of AI. Some people are sounding the warnings of the potential dangers of AI. And a few of the evil and godless minds behind AI project are attempting to create a new creation with super intelligent, non-human minds that remove God from their culture. In essence, it is their goal to make man and the machines that man creates to be gods. Joel Rosenberg, many of you know about him, a born-again Jew who is a very prolific writer and researcher in the area of biblical prophecy. He said just the last month, quote, rooted in the evolutionary materialistic worldview which dominates the scientific and academic worlds, the transhumanist religions, he's talking about these people involved in AI, have come to permeate much of the Silicon Valley, that is, in this nation, the people who create all of our high-tech instruments and computers, as well as the international institutions like the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. In other words, all of the minds of the United Nations and the world that are thinking and dreaming and planning our future are all buying into artificial intelligence. Another danger of AI is the creation of AI robots that will replace millions of jobs around the world. It's believed that these automated computer-controlled robots will work tirelessly around the clock without potential for flawed workmanship. After their initial purchase, they will require no salaries and benefits. Their products will be better and cheaper. Some are suggesting that perhaps as many as 40% of the employed people around the world will eventually be replaced by AI robots. They believe that the profits from these robotic manufacturing will be channeled by the governments of the world to generate a universal basic income for those who become unemployed. In other words, there will be an international welfare program to all these people that lose their jobs will get a check from their government. By the way, can you just think with me how that COVID-19 has helped our government prepare the way for this? I mean, friends, we can look through all of this and see the strategy of what they're planning. For instance, this is an actual photo in some of our manufacturers right now, already in our country, that our automobiles are going through an assembly line where much of what happens to them are it's happening because of the robots that are there. Some people who formerly promoted AI are now sounding the warnings that we may be creating AI robots that will think for themselves and eventually go beyond the control of their creators. These robots may reprogram themselves so that no human can control them. They fear that these robots may seek to destroy humanity. However, let me say this. According to the Bible, we know that this will never happen. We know the end of God's story in the Bible. God, not man, or robots created by man, is in complete control of the destiny of God's creation. Elon Musk has warned that artificial intelligence could be more dangerous than nuclear weapons. And if many of you may know that Elon Musk is one of the most wealthy men in the world, and he has been deeply involved in AI and its production. Now let me come to, before we break, the fifth and I consider to be most important point of what I've talked about tonight. As believers, we must recognize that the producers of AI are seeking to destroy the God-given distinctions between man and animals and machines. It is utterly foolish on their part to think they can tinker with machines and computers to create a new kind of being that will enhance and save humanity from aging and mortality. They tragically deny the saving power of God and have put their hope in their own foolish technological salvation. In other words, friends, let's understand that God told Adam and Eve at the very beginning that if you eat this fruit, you will die. They didn't physically die at that moment, but they did begin to physically die, and they did spiritually die at that particular moment. They were separated from God. But we all know that we live in a world where people are aging. And as they age, they get weaker, and eventually they die. The promoters of AI are basically saying they want to create what they would call a virtual twin of some people. I'm going to share about this in just a minute. Upload all of their memory bank out of their brain into that computer and then say, even though the real person may die, that person will live on forever through their virtual twin, their AI robot. That is part of what they're saying. This goes against what God has said. God says that we're going to reap what we sow. And we cannot get rid of death. The last enemy that's destroyed, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, that is chapter 20, is death and hell that will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, Ai has a godless worldview. Understand, not perhaps everyone, but probably 99% of the people, these geniuses, these computer wizards, these people who were designing these robots, who were behind the technology that's driving AI, most all of them would agree with what I'm about to share with you. They do not believe in God. Many of them are atheists. Number two, they see the earth and matter as God. In other words, they don't believe in a spirit world. And they say that everything is based on evolution. They totally reject creation. There is no God, therefore God could not have created. Everything is simply evolving from this matter, from these simple life forms to greater and more complex life forms. They say that man is only a materialistic creature that has evolved from lower life forms, and man is involved in an evolutionary process, and AI, get this now, is the ultimate level in this evolutionary process. In other words, they're saying they believe that they're about to create the ultimate man and woman in the future through these robots, these humanoids, as they call them. Now look at in the face of this person. Would you believe you're looking in the face of a robot? The technology, my friend, of this is absolutely mind-blowing. AI is man's attempt to reorder God's creation, and they want to make man in man's image. Let me share just a couple things before I go on, before I forget them. Just yesterday, I got an invitation through AI itself for me to allow them to do my research for me. At no cost. They're doing this to all of our pastors. That's their goal. We need to pray for our pastors. Because you see, God has called men like myself in the ministry. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When a preacher stands up to preach, he is to proclaim the truth that has passed through his soul, his heart, and his mind, what God has taught him, and to pass it on to you. When we have people who begin to, pastors that begin to, through plagiarism, copying what a computer has told them to say, then God is no longer involved in the ministry. They're simply doing the bidding of what man wants to do rather than God. I want you to understand also, as you look at this particular picture, that there is a very sinister plan they have. They're creating also what they call AI girlfriends, in which these computers will be made to look like beautiful women that can be purchased or rented by men to come and live with them in their home, and it basically becomes their girlfriend, and this computer, this robot, will do anything that they ask her to do. We can't begin to imagine of the dreaming of immorality and wickedness that is involved in all of this. As I told you earlier, it is their desire in some cases to create what they call digital twin of the real person. They want to create a digital twin of some people. The robot will be made to look and move like the person. Their voice will be duplicated. They will be interfaced the digital mind of the person so that the robot will have the memory and personality traits of that person. Someone told me before the service that here in the Roanoke Valley, a lady just a few days ago got a telephone call, and this person said that it was her daughter, and basically she was being deceived to give some money to her daughter when it really was not her daughter. It was the voice of her daughter. So friends, we all need to understand that these deceivers are planning a lot of wicked ways to trick a lot of people, dupe a lot of people into doing some things that they should not do. Now, Elon Musk has a corporation in which he has created what's called the Neuralink. These Neuralink implants connect the human brains with computer interfaces through artificial intelligence. The approaching technology would see groups of minuscule, flexible electrode threads implanted in the human brain by neurological robot. As a matter of fact, if you go online, they actually have a video showing how this robot is implanting these electrodes in the mind of a person. And let me tell you this, just about 2.5 weeks ago, the FDA gave approval for this. Our government has already approved for this to happen. These threads detect and record the electrical signals in the brain and transmit this information outside the body. Now, let me share with you what they're telling us. This is something maybe relatively new. I don't think I shared this in Rocky Mount. You see, what they're attempting to do is to tell us something good that this is going to do, to lure us in to think, well, this is a good thing. For instance, they're saying that through this technology, they will be able to help blind people to see. They will be able to help the people that are dumb to speak. If a person has had a tragedy in their life and they're partially paralyzed or whatever, they will be able to implant these electrodes in their brain and they'll be able to walk again. They're already toying with this and it is starting to happen. One can begin to see, listen, they're playing God because only God can really do that. Now, the ultimate dream of all this, as I captured from this one website, is what they call brain uploading. Let me read this to you. It says, this article said, imagine that a person's brain could be scanned in great detail and recreated in a computer simulation. The person's mind and memories, emotions, and personality would be duplicated. In effect, a new and equally valid person of that person would now exist in a potentially immortal digital form. This futuristic possibility is called mind uploading. The science of the brain and the conscience increasingly suggests that mind uploading is possible, and it says there are no laws of physics to prevent it, end of quote. In other words, and this is frightening, friends, they could take the electrodes, put them in your brain through the surgery, and physically upload every memory of your life. You know, they tell us, and it's true, all that we have ever seen or felt or thought is all recorded up here. We may not be able to recall it, but it's all still there. And through this computer technology and reading the electronic waves of our brain and so forth, they claim they're able to upload all of this information from our brain and to store it on an external, you might say, hard drive, if you want to put it that way, in the computer. So let me say this. AI is actually playing God. They want to redefine truth and reality. They want to change humanity. They want to reverse the consequences of sin and death. They want to reorder morality, mortality, and the divine honor of work. They want to set man free from the reality of God's creation and divine purposes for creation. This is all demonic. Friends, I hope you're following me. I hope you understand what I'm trying to share with you. They're all playing God. They're trying to, all the consequences of man's sin, they're trying to erase. All the uniqueness of the fact that the Bible says in Psalm 139, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. They're saying now they're going to duplicate that. They're going to store that. It will be electronically stored, captured, and will never be lost. Again, friends, they are playing God. Satan's temptation of Eve deceptively lured her into the trap of thinking she could become a god and reorder what was good and evil as it suited her wishes. Remember, he said to her, if you eat this fruit, don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to know good and evil? And this is what he was saying. Wouldn't you like to be like God and redefine what is good and what is evil? The ultimate tragic results of man's sin in the Garden of Eden led to a full-blown rebellion against God in the days of Noah. Man's rebellion was aimed at changing the very created nature of God. When man's world got out of control with the birth of demonic-filled offspring, I'll talk about that in just a minute, God decided to step into his creation to rescue it from self-destruction. Let me share that with you. If you take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6. Most people, I don't think, understand what was happening here in Genesis chapter 6. The Bible tells us that as the population began to reach that point where it was multiplying rapidly in verse 1, It says, then something was happening in verses 2 and 3. Listen to it. The sons of God, that's a term used in the Old Testament to refer to angels. So in this case, as we see what they did, these are not good angels. These are evil angels we would call demons. So he says, the demons saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Literally, the Hebrew word there is beautiful. In other words, the demons, looking at human beings, men and women, and they saw these beautiful women, and these demons said, Now let me just interject something, friends. Demons and angels in general are sexless. In the Bible, they always appear to be males, young men. But it doesn't mean that they are male. The Bible says they cannot marry, and they do not reproduce. So there's no little cherubs running around in heaven, flying in heaven. Angels do not reproduce. All the angels, good angels and evil angels that are here, are the original ones that were created by God back there in the first creation week. So when these demons looked at these women and saw they were beautiful and they lusted after them, they realized they did not have the physical capability to do anything about their lust. So what they decided to do was to enter into men and control them, and through that man becoming their puppet, if you want to put it that way, they had sex with those women. What I want to share with you is, I believe that what that means is that when that woman gave birth, she was giving birth to a baby who was demon-possessed. And that was happening over a period of 120 years. As it reached that point, God realized he had to do something. Now, it was long before that, because he told him 120 years before it happened what he was going to do, that he was going to put everybody, only the righteous would be in the ark and all the others would be killed by God. So he said, let me finish verse 2. So the sons of God, so the daughters of men, they were fair, beautiful. They took them wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit, my Holy Spirit, shall not always strive with man, for that he's also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So what the Bible's saying here is God says, my Holy Spirit will not strive. I'm convinced that he's actually here talking about the conscience, because this is where, listen to me, this is where the Holy Spirit strives with all human beings. We all have a conscience. Even sinners have a conscience. We're born with a conscience. That conscience is the inner part of our spirit that actually teaches us right from wrong. You don't have to teach a child that. It's already a part of what God has put in them from the beginning. But God says here that there comes a time when God says, my Holy Spirit will not always strive. In other words, there comes a time when a person's conscience is seared. We learn about that in the New Testament. A person can come to the point when they sin against God over and over. They stop listening to their conscience. They rebel against the warning that God gives in their conscience. And God, after a while, says, that's enough. I give them up. I give them over to their depraved way of thinking and living. God stops striving with them, stops convicting them, so that now they are eternally lost. And they're given over completely and totally to their wicked and depraved ways. Now verse 4 says, and there were giants in the earth in those days. Now let me just stop and say that some people, the word here is Nephilim, as you see on the screen, which could be translated as giants. But I want you to notice this. Look at the screen. The emphasis in this text is upon spiritual wickedness, not the physical stature of man. Everything in this passage has to do not with physically who man became, but who they became spiritually. It says in verse 5, look at it, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of his thought of his heart was only evil continually. And if you read the whole passage, again, the emphasis is upon the fact that these people became, if I could put it this way, they became spiritually giants in the realm of wickedness. Why? Because the population was being flooded with demon-possessed people. Demons were taking over the culture. Demons were taking over God's creation. Therefore, God had to step in and rescue his creation. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is, in a similar way, now man is attempting to tempt God by desiring for man, for humanity's nature to be changed, and changing it to the point that it becomes these robots these person that's a part of a person, but part of a computer. So we're now reaching a similar point. We're entering a very dangerous period of humanity that is demonic in its goals. It wants to eradicate death and work and mortality and reality, that is truth. It wants to set man free from the order of God's creation. Satan is behind all of this. It is now creating a culture and society that will become his dark kingdom of death and decadence and deception. And so, friends, with this backdrop, we know where all of this is going. And that's where we're going to stop right now and take a break. Now, before you go, let me say, in the next section, we're going to go to the prophecies of the book of the Revelation. Listen to me. We're going to understand how this application of artificial intelligence is found in the Bible and how the AI is now preparing our world for the government, the international government of the Antichrist, and how it will control people during the time of the tribulation. So, let's stop now and we'll take a